Hi, I'm Brad. Where are you calling from?
I'm studying in New York City.
I'm in North Carolina now. I'm
calling from Texas, right here in the United States.
And wherever you are, welcome to Blonde Radio. Hi, I'm Brad. I live on the west coast of Canada, and I love seeing things from a new point of view. And welcome to Blonde Radio, where every week I book calls with strangers from around the world. Today we'll have a conversation with Jake, a visual artist from North Carolina, McKenna, a business student in New York, and Jacob, a musician with a ton of heart from Texas. But first, at Blonde Radio, we're all about community. So here's what you can expect, as well as some highlights presented by the Discord mod team.
Hey, I'm Fa.
I'm Peach.
I'm Andy.
I'm Tree.
I'm Sable.
I'm Cameron.
I'm Ari. And here's what's happening this week at Blonde Radio.
Come by the Discord server this Saturday, September 18th at 2 p.m. PST for Games Day. Enjoy a ton of community games with the server, from Gartic Phone to Mario Kart and way more. Big love to everyone who came through for the subathon. Support like this from the community keeps the content coming, and you can expect a new video project by the end of this month. Keep an eye out for a bunch of fall activities coming up, Inktober, spooky movies, and much more in the weeks to come.
And now, here's Jake.
Hello.
How's it going?
Going good. Yourself?
Doing great.
Fantastic. Hi, I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm Jake.
A pleasure. Thanks for taking time out of the day to chat. I really appreciate it.
And same for you.
Nice. How's the day been going for you?
I'm in a funky place of life right now, but today's actually been a really good day. It feels like fall. So that's nice.
Listen, I'm a fall boy. It's officially September now. It feels good. I don't know about you.
No, I went on like a little run at lunch, and I was like, it feels, what's the word? Yeah, doable outside. It's I'm not burning up.
Exactly.
So are you in California?
No, actually I'm West Coast Canada, like pretty close to Vancouver.
The geographically the best when it comes to outside of the States.
Sure.
So I just moved. I'm in North Carolina now. So I'm like the East Coast.
Oh, congrats. And the move treat you well?
It was a random move, but also like a really great one. So
sometimes you just got to switch it up.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, again, thanks for taking the time to chat. But off the top here, definitely give you some space to give the elevator pitch on you. You know, who are you? What do you do, and what sort of got you to where you are today?
Yeah, well, my name is Jake Ruth. I am a kind of, I guess, a creative. I do photo, video, and graphic design, and I predominantly work in like the music industry. So that's kind of like where most of my work and most of my time is spent. So yeah, that's like the very quick, brief rundown. Very
quick and dirty.
Probably figure that out by just looking at my socials, but.
Right. Well, we can dive a little bit deeper in here. So, and of course, for my just even base preliminary sort of looking up on your accounts and stuff, really love the work you're putting together. I don't know. It's a whole vibe. It's very grounded, but also some really cool experimental stuff going on. I like what you're doing a lot. It's really cool.
Well, thank you. It always means a lot because I'm like probably my only critic.
Totally. I don't know if you are surrounded with a bunch of creative homies, but I've only recently, you know, found that in the last year or so. And when you don't have that, it's hard to sort of gauge and get the feedback you're looking for.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. I just moved and I'm kind of the only creative person in like this area, the friend group I'm in. So it's definitely hard to get feedback other than like, it's awesome.
Yeah. Definitely know the feeling. Who and what would you say were your inspirations to pursue the sort of art style and direction and projects that you've, you know, ended up tackling so far?
Definitely. So I kind of, general basis, I'll start general and get like more specific.
Sure.
Growing up, I always loved like movies. I was like a visual person. My parents kind of found out I had like a weird like photographic memory, and that's how I like studied for tests. So like pictures and like movies and films and music were like always just like what I was gravitating towards. I guess just like naturally I stayed in that realm. I always loved using like Kodak disposables growing up. So I would like, it was probably like when I was in like middle school, just because it was like fun. Then as I got older and like social media started to like, got to like know more artists and people and things, I feel like when it comes to photography, definitely like my biggest inspirations are, there's a photographer named Jimmy Marble out in California. Through school, I found an all-time photographer. His name's Stephen Shore. And then just in my own life of someone I know, my friend's dad is actually like one of the coolest photographers, and his name is Mark Jackson.
Oh, wow.
And all those people really just, their work has been like, oh, I see that, and I like can like just sit and look at it. And I've take like a few elements of what they do, just like not the exact style, but like I saw this thing where it's like you can rip off things, but like in your own way, like not like verbatim, but like I'll take this, but like do it this way. I'll take, you know, so yeah. It's definitely those three people in the photography world have inspired me.
That's awesome. I love what you're speaking to there as far as not verbatim, but so much so. It's, and especially now more than ever, because we have so much access to other creators and the online space has opened up so many connections. Nothing is really fully, truly 100% original, you know, especially in the arts. It all builds off the shoulder of other arts to an extent. So yeah, just like, yeah, being comfortable in that and knowing that like the people that you're borrowing from and taking inspiration from took inspiration from other people. So you're good. Don't doubt yourself.
Yeah.
That's sweet. What would you say is the dream piece or project? What's the ideal thing that you have in your back pocket that maybe hasn't quite come to fruition yet?
Yeah, ideal, and like, if we're talking dreams, so it's like anything's possible.
Yeah.
I would love to run my own like print shop. And like, I find a lot of joy in like the, it's a very typical saying, but it's just truly like, I do find joy in like the mundane and like the little knickknacks. You go to like I guess it's a thrift store, but like you find like old postcards and you find like old stamps or like patches and like just old vintage things. And especially like just because vintage is like a revival now, but it's like the actual prints and like posters and like photo books that just like things that are tangible that like you don't necessarily need. I just enjoy making those things. I don't know why. So that's like I'd love to like do something like that and also like continue doing what I do, you know, kind of like. Mm-hmm. That is the dream. I don't know. It doesn't seem too far out of reach now that I speak about it, but I definitely like have to work really hard.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome though, that, you know, to you, it feels obtainable.
Yeah.
That's sick. Now, this is a conversation I love having with fellow makers and dreamers, but what would you say has been the best tool you've learned to turn an art into something kind of sustainable, a revenue? Because not everyone makes that transition or even wants to make that transition. You know, sometimes it just stays the side thing. What would you say kind of made that whole process click for you?
Yeah, it might not be a skill that comes from like the actual art itself, but like almost like a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm very much a self-doubter, and it's only for myself, like obviously self-doubt.
Right.
I think it came to a point where I was just like, I don't want to do anything else, but I'm okay doing other things. But like, why not give it a shot while I'm young? And I'm not even young now, I'm 24. So in a lot of people's minds, like there's a lot of people going into that are halfway through high school, starting college, and like that's very young. But I think for me, it's just like the mindset of being okay with doing something and failing and knowing that I can still move forward. Like it doesn't mean it's like I'm done. Because it is a risk, you know, like to say like I'm gonna do photography as my career,
right?
Insert any art. We're now luckily entering like a time where like all of that's kind of like needed, and it's not really seen as art, it's seen as like social media, any other job title inserted there. But learning to be okay with messing up and knowing that it honestly just helps you. I grew up a big perfectionist and a big, like, I've done things just naturally pretty well off the get-go, and like messing up was like a hard thing. That helped me kind of be like, I can do this and like still be okay. Oh. It sounds like a very weird way to answer that question, but that's what it was for me. So.
No, yeah, for sure. It's a barrier I see a lot of in the creative homies I do know IRL, is that sort of fear of the challenge and messing up, and if I mess up, then what happens? But that's kind of the point, because you don't really move forward until you learn how to, in words, tremendously fuck up.
Yeah,
I found that to be the best some of my best work has come from moments where I felt utterly just defeated and low. And then, yeah, you got to turn around and say, okay, how can I learn from that and improve upon it? So yeah, no, you're so, so right. I love that. What would you say are the lies you tell yourself most often?
It's really funny. That's actually really good timing with that question because a lot of my life, I realized this past week, I've been going to therapy and just trying to now that I live alone, I have time to just think. A lot of my life, and even up to recently, I would tell myself, people would come to me with and open up about things that they've done that I've are wrong. And I've always said that's okay. I still love you. In return, whenever I've kind of avoided those things because it's I've not let myself, not necessarily wrong things, but it's just in sort of that perfectionist mindset, I've told myself I have to stay this way and not mess up, but it's okay for others too.
Mm.
And I find it's kind of helped me loosen up a bit and learn that it's I've been telling myself, mm-hmm. I've been holding myself back from growing more, learning more about people and definitely just loving better,
mm-hmm.
especially myself. So I guess a clear answer to that would just be, well, maybe there is a clear answer in there. I've just scatter-minded sometimes. So,
oh, that's perfect. Well, maybe to flip it here in closing, what advice would you give to someone who wants to be a little bit more honest with themselves? What would you say to them?
It's almost just kind of I'm convincing myself of this these days, but just do the thing that you're telling yourself you can't do. And it's a lot harder than that because in the moment and in that mindset, it is the scariest thing. So the way I took that is just sometimes I'm not honest with myself that the best is in my favor. But when in reality, it's just I have no idea what is to come. So why not take that step, whether it's big or small, and just take it? I can only control what happens in the moment that is now. I can't control what is to come and I can't control what has happened. So I just have to be I have to remind myself that that is the case and also be just honest with myself and be I deserve love. I deserve the good things as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will, that's something I wish, I kind of pictured myself telling myself that.
Yeah.
When you ask, because I think it's hard to tell ourselves the things that we can easily tell others.
Oh, big time. Because we were even talking about this a little bit earlier, failure is still movement. It's still going somewhere. But by sort of being indecisive or, frozen by that fear, it's just going to stagnate. And listen, we only got so much time left here. It's worth it in the long run to just go for it.
Exactly. The moment of life I'm in right now,
mm-hmm.
I'm last year, there was this girl I liked. I liked her for literally 3 or 4 years. We never lived in the same place. And I was there's no way she'll say yes. And then I was just fed up with myself. And I just did it. And now we've been dating since.
Yo.
And then another way, it's just there's this job I want to do. There's an opening. I applied. They've taken forever to get back to me. And I'm just responding back hey, what's going on? Things like that. It's just there is only so much time. And not that I'm rushing to know these things, but it's almost just you have nothing to lose. And especially when you get to a place where you're content with being at your base level of me, that was I was finally content being single at this job, at whatever job,
mm-hmm.
in life, I was content. Whenever you try for new things, if you're okay with it not happening and going back to that place where you're content, then it's awesome. I guess. Totally. I don't know, trying to end on a positive note here, but
yeah.
I think all of that's positive, but
mm-hmm.
it's easy. It was easy for me to just beat myself down and no, you don't. Oh yeah. No. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Because honestly, you're either putting off your happiness, you know, by that thing you're putting off coming to a positive end, or your closure, your ability to move on. You're really serving no one by just hanging out in the middle. And it's easier said than done, but hopefully this can inspire someone.
Yeah. And that's why I reached out, which is so funny because a year ago, I was on TikTok. And I was like, dude, this looks awesome. I'm going to see if I can just talk. It went by. And what's so funny is I was just on TikTok as a joke and then it mm-hmm. my TikTok kind of blew up and I was what the heck?
Right.
What I saw with you is you decided to like start interviewing these people and like starting doing something that you like, that I hope it, like, it seems like it still brings you joy by talking to mm-hmm. you, and it's like fun for you to meet people totally. And connect. And like, that is one way I like, I want to do what this guy's doing. And that's like, it's so cool the way that you can inspire people just by chasing your dreams.
Totally. Oh my goodness. Wow. Full circle. That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's been, as much as, you know, you can credit yourself and say, oh, I put in the hard work, the intention, I had the vision. 9 times out of 10, we lead by example. We look up to people that, you know, we want to create and be like. And I've definitely had my influencers. That sounds weird. But people I've aspired to or looked up to motivate me as well. So, oh, that's awesome. And listen, your work, there's so much heart going into it, clearly, and intention and thought and the journey you've gone through to get to where you are today. I'm for sure that you're also inspiring some homies to do the same.
I hope so. I definitely know I have a few friends that they tell me, but like, I hope that like random people that maybe don't reach out or just follow me for some odd reason, like I hope that the work I do and stuff can be like uplifting and inspiring and honestly just help them. The last thing I want is for someone to like look at my stuff and be like, oh, like I wish I could do that. Like, I hope that they would see it and know like, oh, I want to do like what my dream is and like mm-hmm. chase it, because like this guy, like this person can do it. This person is doing it. So,
hell yeah. Well, I think you're well on your way.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's kind of about it.
Yeah, awesome.
Any exciting plans the rest of your day?
Later, I am going, my girlfriend and I are going to hang out with a few friends and watch like a soccer game and then like go get drinks. So just kind of like keeping it chill tonight.
That's very chill. That sounds lovely. I hope you enjoy. Again, I appreciate so much you taking the time. I'm glad we could finally make this work.
Yeah, same. Thank you for making it happen.
Yeah. Until then, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Ciao. Hello, I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm McKenna. Nice to meet you too.
Very good. I'm very excited for this chat. Thanks for taking the time today and putting some time aside to have a conversation.
Yeah, of course. No worries.
Awesome. And how's the day been going for you so far? Anything exciting, new, different?
I don't have classes on Fridays, so it's going all right. Kind of relaxing, trying to just catch up on work, you know, the deal.
The deal, cool. The deal, for sure. School, we in the thick of it, for real.
Yeah, for real.
Nice. And then how did that, you had a little meetup with a fellow Balan radio homie I saw recently, Moo. How was that? Is he as lovely as he seems online?
Yes, he's awesome. We got along super well. It was super fun. I'm glad I got to meet him. It was awesome. I had a good time.
That's good. He shared a photo. Where'd you guys go to eat? That I don't know. I was 90% looking at the food. It looks so good.
It was a place called The Grey Dog. It's in Manhattan.
The Grey Dog. What a fantastic
name. Awesome. There's a bunch of different locations. So yeah.
I've only been through, actually twice. I've been through New York twice. So for my third visit, I'll put it on the list.
Do it, man. It was so good.
Well, yeah, I guess I'll give some space here for you to give sort of the pitch on you. Who are you? What do you do? And what sort of got you to where you are today?
Yeah. My name's McKenna. I'm 21, university student. I'm from Seattle and I'm studying in New York City. Mm-hmm. I am a business major at a design school. So I'm really interested in working on the business side of design fields, particularly fashion. But I'm definitely getting more into other creative fields as well. I'm gaining interest in those as well. On free time, I kind of like to do creative projects and I also like to play games. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I'd love to hear a bit more maybe so on that sort of initial relationship there with fashion, because throughout your feeds, mm-hmm. what I've seen from you, you're hitting it. It's awesome. You're serving for the people. It's so great to see you out here. So where did that sort of click for you? That's like, oh, this is something that I'm interested in.
Yeah. When I was younger, I was really interested in fashion and wanted to be a fashion designer. That is not currently the path that I've gone down right now. Like I said, mm-hmm. I'm more in business. I kind of lost interest during middle school and then regained interest sort of my sophomore year of high school, I used to actually do competitive crew rowing, and I got injured. And kind of during that period of time, I regained interest in fashion and started doing that again. Mm-hmm. And I still really love it. Yeah.
That's really cool. And I feel like, not to put people in categories or boxes, but at least the people that I've engaged with and experienced life with, you meet people that once they hit that hardship, they sort of get hung up on it and they, you know, wait until something comes their way. But it's cool to hear that you know, it sounds like you took initiative and were like, hey, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to get into something else. So kudos to you. Big, big time.
Yeah, I definitely did have a period of time during, I would say, like my junior year of high school where it was kind of rough for me for like mental health reasons. And that's still something that I really juggle with today. Just kind of some things that were not really looked into before because all of my focus was on rowing for a very long period of time. So stuff that was kind of always there, but that, again, was just really overlooked. But I'm in a much better place now, for sure.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. This is maybe a bit personal question, so do feel comfortable to answer whatever you're most comfy with. But do you think you've achieved a clear sense of self, or would you say that's something you're constantly always discovering as you move through life?
You know, I have always viewed and thought of myself as someone who's been very in touch with who I am as a person and where I am at. There's definitely times where I kind of get a little lost, for sure. I think a lot of people experience that, a lot of imposter syndrome and just kind of figuring stuff out. But right now, I feel like, yes, I'm still figuring it out, but I do have a clear place internally in my vision for my future that I want to have. So yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
I think, yeah.
Would you say like you're someone that has like a 5-year plan, or you just like the general direction, you have a good idea?
Yeah, not necessarily a 5-year plan, but I definitely have like a, this is what I want to be doing, you know, like this is where I want to be. Yeah.
That dream goal, what's ideal state? Is it a certain career spot or certain things in your life that you feel you need to be happy? What's the sort of, what are we working towards?
Well, I think I want to be happy in what I'm doing, for sure, whether that's in fashion or not, or in another creative field. But I also want to work outside of the US. I want to work internationally. That's something I've always been interested in. I've previously studied abroad, and then I'm planning on studying abroad again this spring. I really enjoy kind of seeing the world outside of what I'm used to.
Yeah. Is there a particular destination?
Probably somewhere in Asia. I'm a Chinese studies minor, so I've been learning Chinese for a long time now. And maybe somewhere there. I was previously in Taipei. When I, again, was a sophomore in high school, I did study abroad there previously. So yeah.
So cool. That's phenomenal.
Thank you. I really loved it.
No, I bet. And like, not to say you can't be a well-rounded person without experiencing some time away from home and some travel, but I definitely do think those things help and go a long way. At least, you know, with people I've interacted with, it's like, oh yeah, like it makes sense. I'm glad that you could have that experience for real.
I totally agree.
This week's question, it's a bit of an introspective one here. What lies would you say you most often tell yourself?
Oh, yeah. I kind of mentioned like a few moments ago, just kind of like my internal battle of like mental health and stuff. I think the biggest thing that I tell myself is that I'm functioning and that I'm doing fine when I'm very clearly not. You know, I tend to be someone to ignore my personal stuff and focus on other people. And I'm not very compassionate to myself at times. So it's definitely like I'll put myself on the back burner almost always. So I would say that is probably the thing I tell myself that isn't true.
Totally.
A lot. Yeah.
I just spoke to in a previous conversation that'll be in this episode, and they struck me with some really hard words that are kind of similar to what you're talking to here. It's so much harder to tell ourselves the words we would easily tell others, like you're deserving of love, you are wonderful.
Absolutely.
But yeah, when that's, you know, directed towards us from mm-hmm. outside sources, or even, you know, ourselves. It's this tricky, it's sometimes hard to look in the mirror, hey?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, I totally agree with that. I feel like that 100% applies to myself as well. You know, mm-hmm. it's harder to be kinder to yourself, because I guess the term you are your worst self-critic is super true big for a lot time. Of people, you know? So it's just kind of being nice to ourselves and learning to be kind and treat ourselves the way that we treat our friends. And imagine mm-hmm. how if your friend was saying those things to you about themselves, how you would, what you would say to them, and try to apply that towards yourself is something that I personally am working on.
That's great to hear. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Kind of flip that here in closing. What advice would you give to someone who wants to be a bit more honest with themselves, wants to, yeah, be a bit more vulnerable with themselves?
It's, you know, it's hard to be vulnerable. It's kind of scary. You know, I think though, the best piece of advice I can give is by being vulnerable with yourself, you have the most room for growth. Mm-hmm. So try to, I guess, look inside and really question some perceptions you have about yourself. And I think there's a lot of different ways you can do that. You can write in a journal, you can talk to somebody you know and you care about it that you trust, or just speaking it out, even if no one's listening to you. I think it's sometimes really easy to internalize things and to not think about it. But yeah. once you really verbalize, it can be something that can really help, even if you're not speaking to someone in particular. Yeah. Mm.
Do you have a practice for yourself in your day to day in which you do that? Or is it just a mindset?
I think it'd be a mindset, but definitely, like, if I find myself saying things about myself mm-hmm. or telling myself, I guess, those lies of like saying that I'm fine, I think challenging it and kind of being like, oh, I'm doing that thing again. Yeah. And kind of speaking it out, it's like, I need to stop doing that, because, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. It's hard, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I personally struggle with that, you know, it's hard to give advice on it.
Exactly. And the growth in so many places in life, non-linear, it's not a straight path by any means, but as long as you're conscious of it, trying to make an active effort where you can, I think that can only lead to improvement.
I agree. Yeah. I think there's so much growth that can be made out of being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sweet. That's kind of about it. Does McKenna have any exciting plans for the rest of the day?
I'm probably going to work on some assignments, try not to procrastinate, get stuff done ahead of time instead of scrambling to do it later.
I like it. A good plan. Nice. Well, again, thank you for the chat. I really appreciate it.
No worries.
Awesome. Well, do enjoy the rest of your day, and I guess I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. See ya.
Yeah. Hello, Jacob.
Oh, man. Hello. Welcome to Blonde Radio. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Packing, as I always said, but we're good. We're good. I think I'm good. I'm doing fine in general, at least. How about you? How about yourself?
Good. It's been a good day. Got lots of stuff done, and excited for tonight. And then where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas, right here in the United States.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Sweet. Off the top here, I'll give you space to give the elevator pitch on you. You know, who are you? What does Jacob do, and what got you to where you are today?
Well, my name is Jacob. I, as I said, from Texas. I'm 22 years old, and right now I am just living life. I'm just doing what I have to do. I enjoy music, writing, arts, sketch. Honestly, anything in the arts mm-hmm. department, I'm all for it. I love it and things like that. Right now, I'm currently working, saving money for school, so I could go much later. And if I go to school, hopefully I could pursue music. And my dream goal would, I'd like to work, be a music composer or maybe a producer for movies and make soundtracks for movies.
That's phenomenal. I love that a lot. Now, and do share off the top here, because I thought I was mistaken, seeing from the stuff that you've posted on community and stuff, the music that you've shared, I thought it was a newer thing. But looking back at some on your socials, you've been doing this for a minute. So I'm curious, when did music start for you? When did you realize you had this kind of connection?
Yeah, music has always been a big part of my life. When I was younger, my mom and my older siblings, you know, they listen to all of their kind of things, music, whether it be rock, rap, country. Mm-hmm. And me being the fourth and last child, well, I thought it was the last child, I kind of just bunched all of that up. And yeah. I like, honestly, any type of music from like disco all the way to like literally classical music and everything in between. Yeah, I started my music journey, I want to say, when I was, I believe, 7. I started, of course, in church. They asked me if I could play drums. I was like, I don't know how to play. And they're like, well, we'll teach you. Don't worry about it. And then from there, I got older, started learning guitar. And then I learned piano. I took band, which where I learned how to play saxophone. And then I took orchestra, learned how to play violin. And then I also learned how to play ukulele and things like that. Of course, I probably don't play them all professionally. Right. But over the years, over the course of a lot of practice, I do play them some well, some better than others. Some I still feel like cat scratch playing kind of thing. Yeah, it's been a long journey with music. I think it's going to be with me until the very end.
That's so cool. I can't wait to see where it goes. And for you, would you say it's, art as an expression could be a ton of things. Is it, you know, a source of genuine sort of expressing yourself? Would you say it's maybe a therapy to you, a hobby, or a combination of all those things? Or is it, you know, something more specifically?
For me, I'd like to say that music, of course, music is an out for everyone, I believe. Mm-hmm. It can be a source of therapy. It could be a source of just comfort. It could be something just to enjoy and to help you feel things. Music, I feel like, is one of the closest things that us humans have created that is close to magic. Honestly, sometimes you can hear something, and not only has it like been scientifically proven that music can help you remember things, music can help you feel certain types of feelings that you didn't know you felt, kind of things. Music can almost be a nostalgic thing for people who, you know, I'm not sure exactly what I'm saying, but at least for me, music has been, I guess, a language. I feel like through music and all the instruments that I've learned how to play over the course of my time, I've always been able to make connections and make friends, all different sorts of ages and, you know, types of people. I remember just sitting in a guitar center playing guitar and trying out an acoustic guitar. And then, you know, I was playing a Beatles song, and there's this maybe 70-year-old guy. And it's like, oh, that's really nice. And then he popped on a bass guitar, and we kind of just started vibing together. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it was kind of just like we're communicating and having a full-blown conversation, but without words, but just music. And it was honestly the most craziest thing I've ever experienced.
That's beautiful. And yeah, connections for real. You're talking to someone new, you find out you like similar music. That's an instant bond. You know, there's so much emotional resonance in music. Yeah, I love that, Jacob.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel, and of course, this is all up to your personal comfort, comfortable kind of sharing about this larger obstacle you have in your life? You've shared it here and there on the server. So whatever you're comfy sharing, but then also on the flip side of that, what, if any, silver linings have you taken from this unideal situation?
Yeah, for sure. I'm totally fine with it. So the biggest obstacle that I've dealt with my whole life, ever since I was younger, I was born with a heart condition. The condition is pretty rare. It's scientifically, it's called tautology of flow or tautology of fallot. Now don't ask me. I'm not a doctor. I don't know exactly what that means. I just know that it makes me go burr. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, it's just basically there's four defects that happen simultaneously when you're born. And I guess that your heart is not fully developed, or the ventricles that are connected to it. And so basically, it's kind of just going to be a lifelong obstacle that's going to be there for me. But yeah, even though I've had this obstacle, of course, I've gone through my fair share of sadness and depression because of it and things like that. When I was younger, I always was, you know, being told I couldn't do this, or you can't do this, you can't play sports, you can't do this, which would get me so aggravated and so mad and just like, oh, why can't I, you know? I felt fine, but of course, my folks and doctors were just thinking like in the long term, you know, if you do this now, it's gonna affect you. You know, you might not feel it, you might feel like you're okay, but yeah, you know, it's gonna be a struggle. And of course, me as a kid going out there, I was like, nah, rebellious phase, let's go. I was, you know, living my life, going outside. If I couldn't play football on a team in school, I was playing football and with the neighborhood kids. If I couldn't go out and do certain things like ride bikes or scooters or run across town with all of my friends, you know, I was just running around my house, you know, playing with animals and grasshoppers and things like that. Even though my mom would be like, you know, stay inside, you have to be taking your medicines, you have to do this, you have to take your oxygen kind of thing and stuff like that. It's always been just a struggle. It hasn't been a struggle for me really, not until I was 19. Mm-hmm. It just kind of happened one day. I was working on a roof doing my job, and then I kind of just had this overbearing feeling in my chest. Almost felt like there was a huge whale on my chest. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. And I felt like I was just, I didn't know what was going on. I just remember calling my boss at the time and I was like, hey, I don't know what's going on. I think I need to go to the hospital. Can't breathe. Went to the hospital and they told me that I had developed a blood clot in my lungs and also my heart was starting to fail. And so, of course, I was just, you know, caught me off guard kind of thing, just when it happened. But I always expected it to happen. Usually in my case, with my condition, children only live up to the ages 2 or 3 when they usually pass away from this sickness. But I reached level 19 and I was like, yo, let's go. I lived it. And of course, it just became more serious after the age of 19. I had to quit my job, had to stay home, had to be on oxygen tanks kind of thing, and doctor visits almost every other month kind of thing. And although I thought it was getting better and I felt better with every visit that I'd go to, it was getting worse. I'm now 22 and I have my heart function basically. So usually your heart's supposed to at least be pumping, you know, you want it to be pumping. I want to say like 80% of oxygenated blood throughout your whole body. Now, don't quote me on that. I'm not a doctor. It's what they told me. But my heart was only functioning to process like 25% of oxygenated blood throughout my body. And so I was always really weak and really tired and things like that. And your oxygen levels for a normal person is usually high 90s, 100, you know, you'd want it to be 100, high 90s kind of thing. If anything, low 90s, you know, you're already, okay, let's give you some oxygen. But for me, my oxygen levels are usually like at around high 70s and low 80s. So I'm always tired and I'm always breathing, I guess you could say, just really hard. It's not that I choose to or that I'm just dying. It's just, you know, that's just how it goes for my situation and things like that. But anyways, yeah, so as of now, my heart functionality has dropped even more. I think what we're looking at is about 15% of oxygenated blood is being pumping through my body. And so I have now seen visually, physically take effect on my body. I've started to get these small bumps around my legs and things like that. And I've changed color in my face. I'm always pale and things like that. And as you could tell, maybe as I'm speaking, I'm already kind of getting a little bit tired kind of thing. Well, just, I feel tired, but yeah. And so it's been a toll. So that's the reason why I'm moving. I'm going to be moving soon to a bigger city with specialists and things like that and better equipment, better doctors that are suited to help me. Hopefully, if things go well and if I meet the quota, I should be getting a heart transplant soon.
Oh my God.
Once I get a heart transplant, I should hopefully be 100% and everything should go to normal. Because the most basic way I could explain it is If you know anything about cars, my heart, if it was an engine, it's basically a four-cylinder V4 engine in a body of an adult, which is an 18-wheeler body. So, you know, it's not strong enough to be moving an adult-sized body now that I'm 20, 22, going to be 23. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what's going on with me. But we're good right now. We're good.
Yeah. And as you know, I think people who are listening to this and anyone who's had a conversation with you in the past would know, you seem to always carry the positive vibes and energy and smile with you regardless. You know, most people when faced with stress and hardships don't usually default to optimism. What's that about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it or beat around the bush. It has been very difficult, not only with health issues, but, you know, everyone has a different story. Everyone has a different life and a different past, and things can get, you know, overbearing and things can stack up. And of course, when you have a medical issue, such as I, or such as anyone in any case, with any kind of medical disease or defect, you know, any type of thing stacked on top of that can just lead you into a loophole of just morbid, sad, melancholy, name every definition of sad in the book kind of thing. As I've stated before, and I've told you, you can't wait for the things to get better to decide that you want to be happy. And I think that if I was still sad and I was still, you know, depressed and feeling bad for myself for not being able to do everything else that other people were able to do and not being able to do or live normally, I guess you could say, just in general, I would have never had the friends that I have now. I would have never met anyone or do anything or be where I'm at, because I would have given up back at the beginning. One thing that I like to, I guess, live by, or what I tell myself every day, I know a lot of people like to say, live today like it's your last. And I think of that and I'm just like, I don't like to think of today being my last day. I think if I were to really think about it, I would hope today and live for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because I hope with everything that's going on and everything that's happening, I hope that one day I'll get the news that, hey, you have a heart ready for you. Or I hope that I'm going to be able to walk out of the doctor's office and start doing things that I want. I hope that I'm going to be able to see everything that I've planned out for myself. I hope that I'm going to be able to live and do all the things that I aspire and I want to do, because tomorrow, whenever those days come, I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do everything that I've dreamt and I've wanted to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to believe.
That's beautiful. That's a fantastic outlook, man. If anyone is more equipped to deal with it, I think it's you. If anyone, yeah, you got the right mindset about it for sure. Obviously, you know, I'm not in your situation. I can't imagine what it's like to face that hurdle, but I got high hopes, homie.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone, I think, can find the hope to do better and wish and just, you know, live for tomorrow. You gotta be ready for the future, because no matter how down or how things look today, you gotta have the mindset that tomorrow you're gonna be there. You're gonna be ready for it.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Jacob.
Not a problem. Thank you.
This week's question is, what lies would you say you most often tell yourself?
Oh, that one's a tricky one. That one's hard.
Yeah.
I feel like in the past year, I've really grown mentally to really not fall into, I guess, traps and things that would make me feel sad or make me feel like I'm not going to be able to make it or do anything in my life, or I'm not going to have purpose. And I think a lie that I've been telling myself for as long as I could remember is, even with all the optimism that I may give off and all the, I guess, warmth that people say that I give, one lie that I always tell myself is that I'm alone. I always feel like I'm on this journey on my own and I'm doing things on my own, which I need to stop telling myself that. Because I have so many people and so many friends and family who care for me and who I think really in general would do anything they could to make me be happy And this lie that I keep telling myself that I'm alone is, I guess it just stems from the fact that I have this medical condition and that my past has not always been the best. I struggled a lot and my family struggled a lot, kind of thing. And so I guess whenever you have a past of just struggle, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you could never dream when you're too busy trying to just live and mm-hmm. to just survive. So now that I'm older and I'm able to finally see the better sides of things, and I guess you could say the greener grass or the other side of the fence or whatever you could say.
Yeah,
I've come to know that it's okay to dream and it's okay to think ahead and it's okay to believe that there's going to be better and there's going to be hope. And so I got to stop telling this lie that I'm alone, because the only reason why I'm here is because all of those people that I've met, not only my friends and family, but, you know, those people that you meet maybe for a few weeks who help you and just motivate you to keep on going. I think that's the lie that I keep telling myself, which is not true. I am loved not only by myself.
So much. But,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you know it. So I guess in closing here, to flip that, what advice would you give to someone who wants to be a little bit more honest with themselves?
Wants to be a little more honest? You're good at this, man. Don't hide from reality, because reality is there. I know a lot of people like to distract themselves with family and friends and things like that. And although life is very scary, and when you come to terms with it and reality is right there knocking at your front door, or not even knocking through your front door, but I feel like life tends to slip through the back door and catch you off guard. I got that from somewhere quoted. Just kidding. Know that it's there. Come to terms with it. Do your best, but not by yourself. Ask for help. Make sure that you have the closest ones to you and your friends and your loved ones to help you get through life and reality. Therefore, you can achieve and do what you set out and you want to do. Dream. I'm not one with words, but I'm trying my best.
No, that's great. It's especially now more than ever. I think you could tie this into how many venues we have to put our attention, friends example, but then also more arguably less productive things. I'm talking, games, movies, entertainment, just anything distracting yourself from those issues that, as you said, can take you off guard if you're not keeping an eye out. It's not to say, be paranoid all the time about what life is throwing at you, but it's better, I think, to be prepared than not.
Yeah, be ready for it, because it's there.
Because it's not going to wait. It's not going to, as you said, it's not going to knock politely and then come in. It's going to sneak up on you.
Yeah, it really does. Firsthand witness right here. I'm telling you, man, don't do it. Don't underestimate life, because it could be a barrel of monkeys. I don't know. That's crazy.
I love that. I love that analogy. Thank you, Jacob. I'll be keeping an eye out for life.
Keep an eye out. Thank you, Brett.
Always. That's kind of about it. Does Jacob have any exciting plans the rest of the day?
Jacob is going to jump on the oxygen tank, because Jacob is a little tired.
All right.
It's all good. It's a normal thing. I love to talk, as you don't know.
I really do. Again, Jacob, thank you so much for your time and words. I truly, deeply appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you. Empathy, something, whatever. Let's go.
New tagline, empathy, something, whatever. Let's go. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely be talking to you later.
All right. Catch you on the flip side, homie.
See ya.
Bye.
Special thanks to Jake, McKenna, and Jacob for making this episode possible. Intro music provided by Wayfie, that's WAYFIE, and accompanying tracks by Lowboil, that's LOBOIL, who can both be found on all major streaming platforms. Be sure to come by our Twitch stream every Sunday at 2 p.m. PST for more Blonde Radio interviews brought to you live. I'll see you soon, and thanks for tuning in to Blonde Radio.